We're not here to endorse, enforce, change your course. We're not doctors, lawyers, or professional counselors or therapists. Please call those folks directly. This show is meant to get us all comfortable with thinking about our deaths, with thinking about a plan for our loved ones after we've departed, and an idea of what we believe. In doing so, we're forced to look upon our lives. When we do this, we leave with a little more thankfulness, a little more love for ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, and what we've accomplished so far in this short period on Earth. Aloha, and welcome to the Kauai Death Cafe. How are you today, Susan?
I'm alive.
Yes! That's the best answer.
Well, it's the only thing anybody would really want to hear. The rest of it is the story.
Yeah, that's true. We get mired up in our stories. Well, today, I thought we would talk about dementia and Alzheimer's. It's something that we talk about from time to time, and we haven't really quite understood the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's. And I realized that the other day, and I thought it might be interesting to talk about the difference and then the different types of
dementia.
Alzheimer's.
Well, I think, I don't know, so you can educate me.
Let's see.
Because from what I understand, is Alzheimer's is one particular section of the brain that goes bad and you get Alzheimer's. Otherwise, there's zillion, there's all these dementias we're hearing about, some Lewy something dementia.
Yep. Lewy body.
I just started hearing about that maybe a year ago, and so they're kind of, it's like what they do, the medical profession does. They're breaking it down to, well, if it's this part of the brain, it's called this, and if it's that part of the brain, it's called that.
Yep.
And it's all, I think, dementia.
Yeah, so I think that maybe dementia is the symptom, but then there becomes an underlying cause. So from what I've been understanding when I kind of put this little thing together is there was vascular dementia, there's Lewy body dementia, frontal temporal, and then even like dementia that's associated with Parkinson's disease, and then Alzheimer's. So I've kind of got a little breakdown of all four of these, and we're all going to learn, and
good,
there
I
will
wanna
be
hear.
An exam.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see if you've got dementia or not. No, just kidding.
Well, I think if we, I don't know, but most people have some form of, they used to call it senility.
Senility, yeah.
Yeah, which was what happened to everybody if you get old enough.
Absolutely, which is kind of what we were talking about. Oh, we're having a phone call.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's Dr. Baganoff.
Hold on 1 second.
Let's see if I can get you on, Dr. B. Hello.
Hi there. I'm not a doctor.
Oh, you're not anymore?
I never was a doctor. I was a licensed physical therapist.
Oh.
And holistic therapist. And that, anyway, I'm really happy that you're talking about this subject, but I kind of want to hedge off at the pass a little bit. Because I feel like all these diagnoses are really dangerous.
Sure.
They're all misused and overused, and because in my home health experience, I came out many patients that doctors had already labeled with some sort of dementia or organic brain syndrome or Alzheimer's, and I went out and started talking to them, and they were just fine. They were just being ignored, you know?
Sure. Well, you can also kind of get have symptoms of dementia from things like infections or a thyroid being off, your thyroid off, or
right. But the thing I want to point out, all those things happen. Yeah, but the thing I want to point out is using the word dementia, like that, people put that on your chart. And then they think you're not able to make any decisions for yourself, So I think the best thing is to talk about, you know, there are all these conditions. There's all kinds of physiological things that happen to us, and they cause these kind of problems. And describe the the symptoms, you know.
Right.
You know, if somebody's forgetful, you know, they're forgetful. It doesn't mean they have Alzheimer's or they have right. dementia. It means their memory's not as good.
Right.
Well, anyway. I agree. The doctors, I mean, everything becomes some disease process. They have to label it, and then you get caught up in whatever the label says. And really, right. we're all aging.
Yeah,
that's
and then
the
you're
reality.
Diagnosed, and you're there forever.
And by the way, yeah. Jenna found out that between 2020 and 2026, there's been four times as much dementia as there ever was right. before, which is crazy. I mean, that's something I'm trying to put my head around.
Well, and so
but it's diagnosis. Well, it's about diagnosis.
And that brings case in point to what you said, Steve. It's absolutely true that diagnosis follows people, whether
right.
it's right or not.
Uh-huh. You know? Anyway, I'm driving, and I just really felt like I wanted to say something, but I'll let you continue on, and I just wanted to get my two cents worth in there.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and too bad
thank
we can't
you,
see your smiling
face. I totally
face.
Agree with you, so
yeah.
thanks for adding that.
Okay.
I don't have to say
okay, but thanks for your show. It's a really important show.
Thank you. Have a great day, Steve.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
Well,
you're right.
He's right.
That said a lot, right?
It did.
Yeah.
He's right.
We would have gotten there, but he like you said, he headed us off at the pass.
Thank you for that. And thank you, everybody. Please, if you've ever got anything to add, don't hesitate to
please,
call in.
Please, this is ponderous to all of us because mm-hmm. it is just like an epidemic and nobody knows what to do about it. And there's all these poor people who are locked away because of...
Because
they can't
it.
Remember their address or something.
or worse. So
yeah.
The first clip I have is about what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia. And then it kind of rolls into an interview with a couple of people about what it looks like on them. And then sort of the stages of Alzheimer's. And a little bit further of an understanding of it. So without further ado, we will get rolling. Thank you for joining us. You're on KKCR with Kauai Death Cafe. Have a great Sunday.
What's the difference between Alzheimer's disease and dementia? Perhaps you've been confused by these terms in the past, or mistakenly thought they were the same thing. Well, you wouldn't be alone, because knowing the difference between Alzheimer's disease and dementia can be tricky. But it's actually not too hard to understand. In a nutshell, it's like the difference between shortness of breath and asthma. Shortness of breath is not a specific disease. It can have many different causes, and asthma is just one of them. Likewise, dementia is not one specific disease. It's a combination of symptoms that has many different causes, including Alzheimer's disease. Still sound a bit confusing? Okay, think of it like this. You go to your doctor with shortness of breath. To find the cause, she listens to your chest to see if it's due to asthma or pneumonia. And then she checks your heart to see if your breathlessness is caused by heart failure or a very rapid heartbeat. She even asks if you've been worried in case your breathing difficulty is anxiety related. After her examinations, she concludes that your shortness of breath is actually a nut allergy. Similarly, when dealing with dementia, your doctor needs to figure out the underlying cause. And while Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, it's not the only one. Dementia can also be caused by vascular changes in the brain, Parkinson's disease, Lewy body disease, vitamin deficiencies, thyroid gland problems, chronic brain infections, or medications. Even a very deep depression can sometimes look like dementia. Which means if someone you love has dementia, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have Alzheimer's disease. And that's very important for your doctor to establish. Because some causes of dementia, such as infection, medication reactions, an underactive thyroid gland, or vitamin deficiencies, can be reversible with the right treatment. So figuring out the cause and a plan of action could improve your quality of life. And that's why, if you or your loved one have the symptoms of dementia, you need to see your doctor to find out the underlying cause.
I am 66. I was diagnosed when I was 65.
I was diagnosed initially in November of 2015. And I think I'm getting the dates right. Part of my issue is my dates sometimes mush together.
I know exactly what we're doing. I know you're Steve. I know you're Zach. We're here in Pine Street, finally.
On July 20th of last year, I received the official diagnosis with 17 research physicians and doctors in the room, myself, my husband, and my two children, with the diagnosis of early onset, early stage Alzheimer's.
And you can take a minute if you...
Every time I say it.
The way I explain it to people is, I am in a new life. My former life no longer exists, and it's up to me to create a new life.
I knew something was wrong. It's not normal to not be able to calculate a tip anymore. It's not normal to not do math in your head and to be able to subtract or add numbers. It's not normal to not remember conversations or to attend a training class and not remember what was taught.
More and more words are going away, and there are a number of words that no matter how I remember them, they are not there. You know, I could say, okay, now I've got it, and two minutes later, I won't have it.
With Alzheimer's, you don't have an option. It's just not there. The information is just gone.
It seems to be particularly difficult for those of us with Alzheimer's early onset to have, sorry, I got a little bit. Okay, where was I?
Frustrating is the word that comes to mind. I am frustrated with the fact that I don't know what 32 minus 7 is without a pen and paper. It frustrates me that I have no idea what today is, but I do know it's Friday.
First thing I lost was my car, so I was no longer able to use my car for various reasons. I got a bicycle, and I've had two crashes with that, and I think part of that is spatial.
Now I have a new job, and that job is to be loud and proud about my disease, to share my symptoms with everyone and anyone who will listen to me.
I'm able to be useful. I'm able to have to surround myself with a lot of people, which is absolutely the most important thing you can do with Alzheimer's.
Everyone always tells me I look good. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I keep saying to people, I'm going to walk around in a bathrobe with a towel on my head. You know, no makeup, just an old hag. And then maybe then they'll think I have Alzheimer's. But this is what Alzheimer's looks like. It looks like me.
My name is Chris Hannafin.
My name is Pam Montana. And this is my brief but spectacular take.
Brief but spectacular take.
On living with Alzheimer's.
Can change quickly, sometimes from calm to dangerous in just moments. Powerful north and west swells bring strong rip currents, shifting sandbars, and heavy shore breaks. Beaches that seem calm at first glance can turn hazardous fast. Please be safe, swim at lifeguarded beaches, and use the buddy system. Check in with lifeguards for safety information before entering the water, and pay attention to posted warning signs. Even experienced ocean goers should know, Hawaii has some of the most powerful surf in the world, shaped by deep ocean bottoms and steep shorelines. Our lifeguards are here for your safety, skilled, trained, and proud to serve our community. Please ask us for advice when visiting our beaches. One conversation could save a life. This has been a deep dive into water safety on KKCR with Ocean Safety Bureau's North Lieutenant Chad Lisman. Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha and welcome back to KKCR. You're on today with Kauai Death Cafe. We are talking about dementia and Alzheimer's. And we're discussing the differences between the two and the nuances within the disease. And the next clip I'm going to play is going to be about the stages in the life expectancy of Alzheimer's disease.
stages associated with Alzheimer's disease: preclinical Alzheimer's disease, mild cognitive impairment, mild dementia, moderate Alzheimer's disease, and severe Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease begins long before any symptoms become apparent. This stage is called preclinical Alzheimer's disease, and it's usually identified only in research settings. You won't notice symptoms during this stage, nor will those around you. This stage of Alzheimer's can last for years, possibly even decades. My research is focused on this stage. The ultimate goal is to predict who will develop Alzheimer's before the symptoms appear, because the moment people develop symptoms, millions of brain cells have already died. What's gone is gone. We will never be able to repair brain cells or regain lost functions. But we may be able to prevent brain cells from dying in the first place. Mild cognitive impairment is an intermediate state between the everyday forgetfulness that occurs with age and the more pronounced memory deficits in Alzheimer's. As the name suggests, it causes mild cognitive changes that are serious enough to be noticed, but do not affect the individual's ability to carry out everyday activities. It may take 2 to 5 years for mild cognitive impairment to progress to Alzheimer's disease. The next stage is mild dementia. Patients with mild dementia can usually drive, work, and socialize. However, they may have memory lapses, like forgetting familiar words or the location of everyday objects. They misplace things more frequently and become easily confused. They may also experience a loss of interest in activities they once enjoyed and changes in their mood. Alzheimer's disease is often diagnosed in this stage because it becomes clear that a person is having significant trouble with their memory. Other people may also start to notice that something seems off. At this point, however, most can still function independently and will try to compensate for their declining memory. I once had a patient working a demanding job that required him to use multiple sources of information, the internet, articles, and books, to understand the problem and figure out the appropriate solution. At some point, he found himself looking back and forth from one source to another, trying to hold the information from one article in his head long enough to compare it with what he saw on the computer. He ultimately got to the point where he simply couldn't do it. And that's when he came to the hospital and was diagnosed with dementia. During the moderate dementia stage, people become more forgetful and confused and need more help with daily activities and self-care. People with moderate dementia may wander in search of surroundings that feel more familiar. It's also not unusual for people to develop unfounded suspicions. For example, to become convinced that friends, family, or professional caregivers are stealing from them, or that a spouse is having an affair. Individuals often grow restless, especially late in the day, and some may even have aggressive physical outbursts. A patient of mine told me he'd wake up in the middle of the night, jump out of bed, threaten his wife, and throw things at her, simply because he didn't remember she was his wife. In the final stage of the illness, the decline of physical functioning begins to parallel the decline in cognitive functioning. Use this simple formula for recognizing end-stage dementia. Can't walk, can't talk, can't eat. They lose their ability to communicate. Muscles become rigid, reflexes abnormal, and eventually, they lose the ability to swallow and control bladder and bowel functions. The patient, by now, requires total assistance with eating, dressing, using the bathroom, and all other daily self-care tasks. They have a weaker immune system and therefore have a high risk of getting infections like pneumonia, a common cause of death in individuals with dementia. On average, people with Alzheimer's disease live between 8 and 12 years after diagnosis, but some survive 20 years or more. Thank you for watching this video. Please watch my next video if you would like to know how we hope to detect dementia 10 years before the start of the first symptoms.
What is Alzheimer's disease? Alzheimer's is a slow, fatal disease of the brain affecting 1 in 10 people over the age of 65. No one is immune. The disease comes on gradually as two abnormal protein fragments called plaques and tangles accumulate in the brain and kill brain cells. They start here, in the hippocampus, the part of the brain where memories are first formed. Over many years' time, the plaques and tangles slowly destroy the hippocampus, and it becomes harder and harder to form new memories. Simple recollections from a few hours or days ago that the rest of us might take for granted are just not there. After that, more plaques and tangles spread into different regions of the brain, killing cells and compromising function wherever they go. This spreading around is what causes the different stages of Alzheimer's. From the hippocampus, the disease spreads here to the region of the brain where language is processed. When that happens, it gets tougher and tougher to find the right word. Next, the disease creeps toward the front of the brain, where logical thought takes place. Very gradually, a person begins to lose the ability to solve problems, grasp concepts, and make plans. Next, the plaques and tangles invade the part of the brain where emotions are regulated. When this happens, the patient gradually loses control over moods and feelings. After that, the disease moves to where the brain makes sense of things it sees, hears, and smells. In this stage, Alzheimer's wreaks havoc on a person's senses and can spark hallucinations. Eventually, the plaques and tangles erase a person's oldest and most precious memories, which are stored here in the back of the brain. Near the end, the disease compromises a person's balance and coordination. And in the very last stage, it destroys the part of the brain that regulates breathing and the heart. The progression from mild forgetting to death is slow and steady and takes place over an average of 8 to 10 years. It is relentless and, for now, incurable. Helping your family, friends, and neighbors to better understand Alzheimer's will reduce stigma, improve care, and even help the fight for a cure. Thanks for helping to do your part. Learn more at www.aboutalz.org.
Okay.
Yikes.
So that was the sort of crash course in what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia.
I must have missed something.
Well,
because it's, I'm still going under the belief from that book, How We Die.
Right.
Where he said that Alzheimer's, when they dissected a brain, they found out that people had a certain behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That was that part of the brain that decayed, and that there's...
The last little soundbite was kind of interesting because it talked about how it spread from
right
certain parts of the brain to the other parts of the brain. And then I've seen a autopsy brain of Alzheimer's, and it looks very much like a stroke brain, where there's kind of like blood is like almost clogged in the arteries of it, and so you can actually see the vascular system of the brain.
I just am wondering about calling everything. Everybody's got Alzheimer's now, and. But now they have Lewy bodies, and it's interesting to hear the progression.
Yeah, and then with this, the next part, what we're going to talk about is sort of the differences between the different types of dementia, because we've got frontal temporal, and then you've got Lewy's body, which is a disease in itself, but dementia as a symptom of that, you know. The disease is vascular, and then the dementia is a symptom of that. And then frontal temporal, which is a big one. That one seems to have, that's the one you see the pretty fast decline in. And then things they were kind of talking about agitation in the evening. Right. Sundowner is something that happens with people with Alzheimer's.
I thought it happened with dogs.
Dogs too.
Yeah. I had a friend who had a dog, an old dog.
And he'd go nuts at night.
Yeah.
So this next clip is from 60 Minutes.
and it talks about frontal temporal dementia. So,
oh boy,
let's take a listen.
This is a story about the cruelest disease you have never heard of. It's called frontotemporal dementia, or FTD. And given the devastating toll it takes on its victims and their families, it ought to be much better known than it is. FTD is the number one form of dementia in Americans under the age of 60. What causes it is unclear. But it attacks the frontal and temporal lobes of the brain, which control personality and speech, and it's always fatal. It is not Alzheimer's disease, which degrades the part of the brain responsible for memory. With FTD, people either display such bizarre behavior that their loved ones can hardly recognize them, or they lose the ability to recognize themselves. That's what happened to Tracy Lind one day a few years ago as she was standing in a public restroom.
I was washing my hands and I looked in the mirror and I did not recognize my own face.
Didn't recognize yourself?
No, I looked in the mirror and I kept looking. I remember I kept looking at this woman wondering who was she.
This is who she was, the very Reverend Tracy Lind, Dean of the Episcopal Cathedral in Cleveland, Ohio, one of the city's most prominent preachers and civic leaders. She was 61 years old when both she and her spouse, Emily Ingalls, began to notice trouble with things Tracy had always done very well, like finding the right word, recognizing congregants and friends' faces, and of course, her own.
That's when I said, oh, man, I got to go see a doctor.
When that happened, were you scared?
Oh, I was scared to death.
Emily, what did you think was happening?
I thought there's something not right with her brain.
On election day 2016, Tracy Lind got the diagnosis, frontotemporal dementia. She has what's called the speech variant of the disease, which, among other things, attacks the part of the brain where language lives.
Sometimes you're fine and you're on. And then there are other times that the words just don't come out. I mean, it's even if I know what the word is, sometimes I feel like I'm playing bingo. And when I find the word, it's I shout it. I feel like an imbecile, you know. Apple, oh yeah, apple, that's it. And I get all excited.
This is acutely painful for Tracy because being a powerful, effective speaker has always been at the core of her identity.
One of the first things you did once you got this diagnosis was to resign from your job as dean at Trinity Cathedral. Why did you take that action so quickly?
Mainly it was, I knew I was starting to fail even though I was faking it pretty well.
Since stepping down, Tracy and Emily have traveled around the country and the world speaking and preaching about her FTD, or as Tracy puts it, telling the story of dementia from the inside out.
I was determined to live what I had been preaching for over...
My husband and I got married very shortly after college, and we were married for 5 years, and then we found out that we were going to be having a baby. About 6 months into my pregnancy, I started noticing that Mike was acting strange. He became really socially withdrawn. I started getting phone calls from his friends asking if he was mad at them. And by the time Noah was 6 months old, I felt that I couldn't leave Mike alone with him. I started taking him to the doctor, and I said to the doctor, my husband is acting so weird. Does he have a brain tumor? And she was the first of 8 medical and mental health professionals to tell me that he had depression. It wasn't until I brought him to Boston that Mike received his diagnosis of frontal temporal degeneration. And that led me to join the Boston area FTD support group. And then I kept hearing Dr. Dickerson's name over and over again, that if your loved one had FTD, you needed to be at MGH.
Frontotemporal dementia is one of a family of neurodegenerative diseases that gradually cause certain parts of the brain not to function as well as they used to. Sometimes people have personality changes, and it often looks like a psychiatric illness may present, but then the person keeps getting worse, often despite treatment.
It has a terminal prognosis, but in a way, it was a relief to know that my husband wasn't choosing his behaviors. He wasn't choosing to isolate himself from us. The neuro rehab center at Middleborough provided him with 24-hour care for the last 2 years of his life. And what was wonderful is that the physician on staff there could consult with Dr. Dickerson. I remember sitting with Mike during one of the last days of his life and talking to Dr. Dickerson for a half an hour on the phone. And he just really reassured me that I was doing everything I could for him. He was very compassionate. Very early on, I knew that I didn't want Mike's disease to be the end of his life, to be the end of our story. I was interested in donating his brain, and I was committed to that.
We learn a tremendous amount when people make the ultimate donation of their brain to the hospital. We have a very large brain bank that does a pathologic autopsy diagnosis of the condition that was affecting the patient. We do our best to sit down with each family and explain to them what we think we learned from it.
Finding out that what I thought he had was what he did have was comforting, because that meant that I didn't leave any stone unturned. I brought him to the best place I could, and he received the best care.
The second major thing that we do is research.
Our family was able to give a gift so that they could learn something about FTD, and maybe in the future, another family won't have to wait until their loved one has died to find out that they had it.
That was a couple stories about...
The first one was interesting because the one thing that she was doing was losing her ability to speak. Mm-hmm. And what did she do but go on the road speaking?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
At least she could probably read her speech.
Oh, maybe. I don't know, but...
Well, and again, as we saw in the sort of beginning, you know, it affects that one part of your brain until it sort of moves to the other part, you know, and it can get so advanced that, you know, you can't walk anymore, you know.
Yeah, I know people with dementia that are whatever now you want to call it.
Bedbound.
Who are at their last stages, but they're still, they can't do anything else but eat.
Mm-hmm.
And barely walk. And barely, they have... Yeah. Amazing 24-hour care. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're doing better than most, but it's been probably over 10 years that she's progressed, and it's tragic. It's like, what do we do with all these people?
It's not easy to watch. The person that was speaking in the last soundbite, the wife, her husband died at 33 of frontal temporal.
Yeah, and is that a freak, or how often does that happen at that age?
I'm sure it was the last thing that anybody thought of.
Yeah, at that
age. At 33.
Yeah.
You know, just wild. Well, the next one we're going to talk about is vascular dementia.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to get our learn on. Here we go.
Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. But do you know the difference? Alzheimer's accounts for 60 to 70% of all dementia cases. It's often linked to a buildup of amyloid and tau proteins in the brain. Vascular dementia, the second most common, makes up 5 to 10% of cases and is caused by reduced blood flow to the brain. Alzheimer's usually starts subtly with memory loss,
While vascular dementia symptoms, like issues with decision-making, can appear suddenly, often after a stroke. Risk factors overlap, however. Alzheimer's is more common in women, while vascular dementia is more prevalent in men. The best prevention strategies for both include healthy lifestyle choices like eating a Mediterranean-style diet, getting enough exercise, and managing existing obesity, diabetes, and hypertension. Read more about vascular dementia on beingpatient.com.
So, you don't know what you're going to lose next. You just have to wait and see. Oh, when I first met Ronnie, I was 14.
It was through an accident that we actually met. I was cycling around Loch Lomond with our brother. He got knocked down.
So the gentleman that actually hit my brother brought Ronnie home to tell my mum.
Olive actually answered the door, and she was brushing her hair at the time. Well, she was gorgeous.
Ronnie is a painter and decorator by trade, and he did up my brother's room for him coming home. And so I'd stand and watch him do it, and then he asked me out. And that was it. January, 4 years passed. He noticed my mental arithmetic was starting to go. And I was always very, very good at mental arithmetic. I couldn't remember words. I have to explain what the word is. And then Ronnie would tell me the word I was looking for. That's why I thought it was time to go and see the doctor. He says, well, we'll take a scan. And then he told me that I had vascular dementia. Well, I didn't really know what that was at the time. From my understanding is that your brain will die, but not in a specific order. So you don't know what you're going to lose next. You just have to wait and see.
An awful lot does go through your mind. Is there a time limit to this? Or will it go on, you know, for quite a long time? Am I going to be feeding her or something soon? Sometimes I wish that I'm going to go first when the time comes, you know, so I won't have to see it. The joys of... She's always been very good at holding her feelings back, but I've known Olive too long not to realise that it is something that's eating away at her. It's not her doing it, it's the dementia, and that's not her fault.
I mean, a lot of people just keep saying, well, there's no way you've got it. And it's not something you can see. It's not like a cut or something like that. So the fact that you've got to explain is difficult, because the different types of dementia aren't really known that well. Research is so important. I don't think anything will happen within my future, but they may be able to find something that can even slow it down. And you've got to have the money for research to do it. I don't really think about the future. I really don't, because I don't know what the future's going to hold.
She just means so much to me. I don't know what I would do if she wasn't here. That's one question I can't answer. I really don't know.
I give you my love.
I give you.
Welcome back to KKCR. You're listening to the Death Cafe. Usually we're a little more positive than this.
Well, this is realism, it isn't.
It is.
Positive or negative, it's just like the reality. But I was telling Jenna that after listening to the show, I wonder how many people are going to start worrying about what stage of what they have, because I'm certainly looking at my brain now and going, oh, you forgot those words. Maybe you have... And they were talking to him, this is it's a bad joke. I admit it's a bad joke. But Jenna said they're trying to slow down the progression. And I was thinking, well, if I had it, I would like to speed up the progression and get it over with. Anyway, apologies for a bad joke, but go ahead,
Jenna. Yeah, well, that's what happened. So those were people that were living with vascular dementia. And it seems like the progression is a little slower, but it's so different for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And what and stage they figure it out in.
Mm-hmm. So many things are brewing as our body ages that it's all about how fast it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because something's going to happen.
Something's bound to happen.
It has to happen.
I'm going to do a little PSA and invite everybody to a party. But it's not a dementia party or a death party. It's a KKCR party. Check it out. Welcome back to KKCR. We're going to listen to a couple of sound bites about what Lewy body dementia is. And this is the kind of dementia that Bruce Willis had. And
Robin Williams.
In fact, this clip is about Robin Williams. So it's by a person from he has a little science show, and it's not normally what they talk about, but he does a pretty bang up job on this. So check it out.
I give you my love.
I give you my love.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
The goofy side of him, the fun, that had disappeared.
We promised each other that we would take care of each other.
He is my knight in shining armor.
Now he's not who he was.
So it's just really hard.
It took 4 years to get a diagnosis. And I had to fight for that diagnosis. It was Lewy body dementia.
When I'd read the lab report, I was scared.
People live 5 to 7 years.
What the heck? What are we supposed to do? Just sit there and wait?
We started support groups because we all felt so isolated.
Sadly, we know what we're all going through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta step out a minute.
Okay.
My husband is walking down the street.
Go get him. Go get him.
I just got diagnosed this past June, and a switch turned on in my brain, like a suicidal impulse.
Let me see a show of hands first off. Who all has ever contemplated suicide? Yeah, see? You're not alone in anything you're going through, but you're not.
Okay, come on, let's go to the back. He, being the proud man he is, this way. He definitely would have never chosen this. Come on, for either one of us.
This is my It's Not Fair cry.
Hmm. Let's get in the RV and go.
Yeah.
We're gonna go and stop and visit people in the support group on the way.
Hey, there he is. What do you know?
Finally, at last.
Good to meet you.
Hi, Curry.
You doing okay?
I am now.
Oh. But then what is that?
That's it. Uh-huh. He started having more agitation.
You're tired. We need to figure out how to get you comfortable.
I want to go home.
Our friends and family, they look at us, oh, they're so strong. They doing this and they doing that. But yeah, I'm literally crumbling inside.
I don't think I can keep doing this 21st. I'm not as strong as some of the women in the group.
Hello, ladies! Finally
meet! Girls trip. Cheaper than therapy.
That was good.
I accidentally reversed my clips, but that was a trailer for a movie called Facing the Wind. and it's a documentary about Lewy Body. And in the documentary, it goes on the trail of people with dementia and their caretakers, and how they were sort of trying to find solace in each other. They were doing online Zoom calls, and one of them embarks on sort of a bucket list trip and gets in an RV and kind of drives across the country to meet the other people that they were in these new kindred friendships with because of the fact that they had dementia. Hi. Great. Anyway, I wanted to play the clip about Robin Williams first, and I had the two of them switched around, so I apologize, but here comes the Robin clip.
Here at SciShow, we don't usually cover a lot of celebrity news unless we're talking about celebrity engineers or celebrity scientists. When we do, it's usually to explain something science-related that's happened in a celebrity's life. And today, we're going to talk about Robin Williams, whose autopsy has shown that he was suffering from the early stages of a disease called Lewy body dementia. This condition is debilitating and surprisingly common for something most people have never heard of. It's the second most common cause of dementia after Alzheimer's disease. It's also the most frequently misdiagnosed cause of dementia, partly because it's often mistaken for Parkinson's disease until the hallucinations start. And that's exactly what happened to Robin Williams, who had been diagnosed with the early stages of Parkinson's at the time of his death. But his autopsy revealed small clusters known as Lewy bodies in his cerebral cortex, a typical sign of Lewy body dementia. Lewy bodies are small clumps of proteins, mainly one called alpha-synuclein. Everyone has alpha-synuclein in their brains as well as in other tissues like their hearts and muscles. It's found in nerve cells, and it appears to have something to do with the release of neurotransmitters, the chemicals that help nerves communicate with each other, although its role isn't really understood. What we do know is that it's perfectly healthy to have alpha-synuclein in your body. Scientists still aren't sure what causes Lewy body dementia, but Lewy bodies seem to form when something, like a mutation or damage to the gene responsible for making alpha-synuclein, causes those protein molecules to be created in the wrong shape. And when alpha-synuclein is folded incorrectly, it can start to clump together. Those clumps become the Lewy bodies, and they slowly accumulate, spreading through the brain and interfering with the neuron's ability to communicate with each other. In Parkinson's, Lewy bodies form in the brainstem and the substantia nigra, the part of the brain that produces the neurotransmitter dopamine. Both of those areas help control muscle movement, so the result is a loss of coordination. All signals for muscle movement have to pass through your brainstem, and dopamine is a chemical that we've talked about before for its role in reward and addiction, but it's also part of what lets you make smooth, uninterrupted movements. Damage to either or both of these regions leads to the tremors, stiffness, and difficulty in walking that are the most visible symptoms of Parkinson's disease. So if the formation of Lewy bodies causes Parkinson's, then what makes Lewy body dementia a different disease? And why haven't you heard of it? Well, the answer to those questions turn out to be related. You probably haven't heard of it because we only zeroed in on the difference between Lewy body dementia and Parkinson's in the 1990s. And it's misdiagnosed so frequently as either Parkinson's or Alzheimer's disease, depending on the individual's symptoms, that it hasn't attracted much attention. The difference between Lewy body dementia and Parkinson's comes from where those Lewy bodies form. The buildup of Lewy bodies during Parkinson's disease happens mainly in the brainstem. But in Lewy body dementia, those bodies form throughout the cerebral cortex, including sometimes in the substantia nigra, which can give Lewy body dementia some Parkinson's-like symptoms. Parkinson's is easier for doctors to diagnose because the brainstem is small and packed with all of our brain's simplest equipment, which we mostly understand. We know what it looks like when it stops working. And it helps that the Lewy bodies that form there are pretty large and therefore easy to see during an autopsy, which is useful for researchers. We've known about them since 1912, when Dr. Frederick Lewy discovered them in the brains of some people with Parkinson's disease. But in Lewy body dementia, the protein clumps are so small that until very recently, we couldn't detect them at all. New methods for studying brain tissue allowed us to see Lewy bodies in other parts of the brain for the first time only in the 1990s. But even if they're hard to see, having those protein clusters forming in brain cells everywhere gives Lewy body dementia a long list of symptoms that Parkinson's doesn't share, which is what doctors do use to diagnose it. Things like hallucinations, loss of spatial reasoning, sleep disorders, and cognitive and memory impairments similar to Alzheimer's. According to statements from Williams' wife and according to the autopsy report, Robin Williams was not suffering from any of those advanced symptoms at the time of his death. Lewy bodies accumulate slowly over years with gradually worsening symptoms. So is there a cure or at least a treatment? Well, no, not yet. Lewy body dementia is especially hard to treat because patients tend to have a severe sensitivity to many of the antipsychosis medications that doctors might prescribe to help manage the hallucinations. But we can hope that Robin Williams' diagnosis might help bring some awareness to these diseases. Thank you for watching this episode of SciShow News, which was brought to you by our president of space, S.R. Fox.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I thought that it was interesting. Also, when you listened to the movie trailer that I was going to play after this, and it talked about the guys that had Louis' body and how they had suicidal ideation, you know, and it's affecting this part of their brain.
Well, was the suicide from the Louis body or just because it was unbearable to keep living like that?
I think it felt like a symptom.
Oh.
You know, like psychosis or hallucinating or, you know, something of that nature, just that peril going on inside your head and, you know.
And there's nothing you can
nothing
do about
you can
it.
Do
and
about
it's just
going
to get worse and worse and worse. And suicide might pop up, even without, you know. I don't know. It's just baffling, this whole dementia thing.
It's really mysterious.
Because it's like taking over, especially people around my age.
Mm-hmm. And then I have another clip about end-of-life Parkinson's and how dementia is related to that. Because in this, they kind of say it's hard to differentiate the difference between the Lewy body and Parkinson's. But dementia is related to Parkinson's. And so, again, like they were saying, the symptoms are just slightly different. You know, and when you
Well,
when you have that chance to go in and see your doctor, you may not be exhibiting the symptoms at the time. And it's really up to your caretaker to kind of understand those nuances, you know, and report that back.
And the way we started the show was like, they call every, you know, if you're vitamin deficient, they call
dementia.
It dementia. If you... You know, so...
Yeah. I mean, and then we commented off the radio, you can have a UTI and demonstrate the same exact...
Yeah.
I had a UTI a couple years ago, and I totally had dementia. My mother was coming to Kauai, and I left. I went to California.
Oh, my God.
And they said, I thought you were coming next month. I mean, it was bad.
It was bad. Good thing it was your mother.
Oh my gosh, it was my brush with dementia. Good thing it was a UTI and not, you know, something else. Anyways, this show is, you know, factual. These facts can be depressing, but if you are exhibiting any of these symptoms, you know,
They can't do anything about it,
but you should tell your doctor. No, they started to do some things. They have a drug that can be used in early onset that they say just gets the rust out. And I think
I've heard about that.
Yeah, kind of what
it gives you a little bit more time.
Yeah, they say it kind of tries to bust up some of those proteins or not allow them to amalgamate, you know. You can get a electrode placed in your brain. They drill a little nickel-sized hole in your skull and put a very, very fine electrode in there.
What does that do?
That one is more common for Parkinson's dementia. Oh. And it also helps with tremors. And it can be adjusted on an app on your phone.
Oh, my gosh.
But the best way to reduce your risk of dementia is dancing.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Moving all your body at once.
Mm, that's good to know.
To the beat of something, you know. I recently had a dementia patient, and she was an avid dancer.
Didn't help her too much.
It didn't. And then towards the end of her disease, she forgot how to dance.
Yeah.
And that was really...
So one more thing that didn't quite work.
No. Didn't work at all.
It was a good idea, but...
Anyways, we're going to let John Prine take us out. He's going to sing us a song about remembering everything. So, thank you for joining us this Sunday. We'll be back on next Sunday. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll be in the realm of death.
And if anybody wants to send us any kind of input about these subjects, we're just exploring what pops up, but God, we'd love you guys to participate and share positive information with us.
Yeah.
So our website is what?
KauaiDeathCafe.com. And you can also reach out to us at KauaiDeathCafe@gmail.com. And you're welcome to call this studio and
bother whoever answers. And you're also welcome.
Yeah, we would love input from you guys, because who knows? We're all trying to figure this out, for sure.
There's always something to talk about. Anyways, yeah. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha.